Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Welcome and thank you for joining us on this blessed day of worship as we celebrate and praise God's name. It is so good to have so many of you here, friends and guests and so many people, as we get to celebrate God. And thank those of you who are joining us online as well. We have many people from across many different states who are joining us virtually, from Washington to North Dakota to Wisconsin, obviously some friends and family from Ohio as well, and we are so grateful that you all could be with us. A few announcements before we get started with worship today. Just want to remind you that once again, the Joint Board has made mask optional for the Christmas season, but we still strongly encourage you to use your mask throughout our worship space. So especially like when all of us are leaving at the end of worship, that's a good time to pull it out. Or if you are feeling sick, we still encourage you to stay at home and enjoy worship from our live stream. And we are asking any of you who'd like to sing along with our hymns, it is mandatory that you wear a mask for those. So if you would like to sing and you forgot your mask, we do have a bunch of masks in the back for you that you could borrow. And we thank you for following those protocols. We really do appreciate it. It helps keep our worship as safe as possible. Please get your year-end reports for church council in as soon as you can. Those were due last Sunday, so if you can get those into Carolyn as soon as possible, that would be greatly appreciated. Also, the trustees are asking that you consider an extra Christmas gift for the Church Furnace Fund this year. We have already raised $6,700, and we're hoping to reach $10,000 by the time we get to church council. So any gift we get towards that goes a long ways, and it really will help that project as we get ready to present that. And church council is just around the corner on January 16th. On Sunday, December 26th, this coming Sunday, we will have Ugly Sweater Christmas. So if you want to join us for that, for a laid-back Sunday, we look forward to having you join us as well. There will be no Sunday school that day as well. And then Sunday, January 2nd, we will participate in one of our favorite Moravian traditions, which is drawing our watchword for the year. Those of you that are guests that are not familiar with the Moravian Church, a watchword is something a Moravian draws each year. As a reminder, it's a Bible verse we pick at random that we hope will guide us and point us to inspiration throughout the year. So it is something that is a great part of our tradition going back hundreds of years, and it's something we hope that you will enjoy participating in as well. Before I wrap up announcements, I just wanted to share briefly the poinsettias in honor of them. Our beautiful poinsettias that we have were given by many different families, and I just want to read them off for you because we are so grateful for the memories and legacies that they honor. Some were given by Tom and Jean Ann Baker in honor of their grandchildren, Private Carter Baker, Ashley Baker, and Avery Baker, and also thinking of their son Ben Baker as well, and Tommy Baker. Becky Canfield, McKenna, and Jacob Cannon, in memory of Ted and Catherine Canfield, very longtime members of our church. Tammy Eichel and Corey Smith and family, in memory of Vicki Eichel, Catherine and Charles Ebright, Rodney Eichel, and Patricia Smith. Norman and Cheryl Codry, in memory of Bob and May Fainer, Joe and Margaret Codry, and Isabel Aaron Castor. Jim and Linda Karcher, in memory of Willie Gardner and Albert and Mabel Karcher. Chloe and Paige Martin, in honor of their church family and Jane Martin, in memory of Dean and Margaret Renner and Ed Martin. And then Doug and Angie Miller, in honor of Alicia, and Tyler, and Justin and Alyssa and Leah, and their parents and grandma, in memory of Willie Gardner, Melvin Yoder, and Wallace Miller. And then Tim and Linda Northrup in memory of Joe Northrup. And then Floyd and Delene Swinderman in honor of their wonderful grandchildren. Thank you all for beautifying our worship and our sanctuary. That's all I have for announcement. So let us please stand and extend the right wave of fellowship. Good evening. You may be seated. At this time, I invite Ryland Swaldo, who will share our watchword for tonight.
Today's watchword is John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, And we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, hear the angel voices. O night divine, O night when Christ was born, O night divine. Another, his law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we with all our hearts. We praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and glory evermore proclaim. His power and glory.
Lighting a candle is a modest but significant act. It is a symbolic reminder to people of faith that God's love can transform even the darkest corners of the world. During the struggle of a pandemic, we especially need this reminder. As we light the candle, we begin our pilgrimage to celebrate the miraculous birth of Jesus. The white candle on the Advent wreath symbolizes the Christ candle. It reminds us that the light of Christ is at the center of all our journeys. Jesus spoke to them saying, John 8:12 said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." May we never again have to walk in darkness with the light of Christ guiding our world.
Let us pray. Dear Savior, on this day we celebrate the miraculous birth of our Savior. This is a day to celebrate and praise the name of God. May Christ's light and love and mercy be a beacon of hope for all of humanity. Amen.
At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together to sing, "O Come All Ye Faithful."
Oh, God.
Come all ye faithful, and we come together in prayer to share our joys and our concerns. First and foremost, our greatest joy is that we can be here together in this sanctuary, worshiping and praising God. We can have people across different states and different platforms joining us for worship. What a blessing and a gift that is. We also ask extended prayers for you and your loved ones and everyone across our country and our world who are traveling to be with family and friends, that they have safe travels and are able to enjoy that as well. At this time, we all uplift some joys and concerns that we can share with you. First and foremost, we offer prayers for Ben Baker. At this time, he remains in critical condition with severe COVID-19 symptoms. He is on a ventilator with a low oxygen level, and so we definitely keep him in prayer. His parents, Tom and Jean Ann, as they try to comfort him from afar, and his medical team at the Steubenville ICU COVID unit as well, who continue to take wonderful care of him at this time. We also uplift in prayer at this time Ken Lewis, Delene Swinderman's brother, who is receiving end-of-life care and is preparing for life eternal. We also uplift in prayer John Smith, who is recovering from a car accident, Corey Smith's brother. We are grateful that his injuries were minor and he's able to recover quickly and swiftly. We also uplift in prayer at this time Joan Ferrone and the Reverend Jim Ferrone. Those would be Emily Lippert's grandparents. Emily's grandmother Joan had hip surgery this past week, and then while she was recuperating in the hospital, her husband Jim also had surgery. He had back surgery a few weeks ago, and he had it cleaned up again this week, so both of them were hospitalized at the same time. Jim will remain hospitalized for a few more weeks while Joan was able to go home today, so we pray for them and for Emily's mother as well, who traveled to Maine to take care of them. And we also uplift at this time those who are suffering from COVID-19. Many of you know a friend or a family member from our congregation or someone else. We just ask that you continue to not only pray for them, pray for the medical teams that have been in this battle for 18 months, pray for all the people who are in a hospital room tonight but can't be with friends or family, and let them know that we are thinking and our prayer is present and with them. So at this time, let us take some time in silence and invite God in this time of prayer as we pray together. Gracious God, we come before you, and I just want to say thank you for the people that are gathered here to worship and celebrate the birth of the King and King of Kings, our Messiah, our Savior. We are so humbled and so delighted to be here tonight. Gracious God, we uplift so many prayers to you right now. We realize that December is always a heavy-hitting month with so much going on in our lives and in our world. And we ask you specifically to watch over the people that we've mentioned today. Be with Ben Baker. Help him to know that we are fighting with him and beside him. That even though we can't physically be in the room with him, we have prayer warriors entering that room every day through the power of prayer. Gracious God, be with Ken as he gets ready to celebrate life eternal and gets ready to see your face. Help him and be with his family as they are with him in these sensitive and vulnerable times. And be with the Ferrone family and the Smith family and the Edwards family and the Clark family, and help them to know that you, God, are watching over them just as you watch over us. That your personal touch is present. And that the second we whisper your name on our lips, you are listening to us. You are caring for us. So gracious God, we come before you as sinners, realizing there are times we make mistakes. There are times we let you down. There are times we screw up. But you are a merciful and wonderful God. And you blot out all of our transgressions. You wash us anew and remind us of the reason we were baptized, to experience the grace, mercy, and love that you brought into this world starting on that first Christmas day. In your wonderful and blessed name we pray. Amen. Now we will hear God's word from Scripture.
Our first scripture reading is Isaiah 52, 7 to 10. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Our second scripture is John 1, 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Our next scripture is from Luke 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken in the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you. Amen. At this time, we turn our hearts and our minds to one of our favorite Moravian traditions on Christmas Eve, which is our love feast. We remind you that just a little background about a love feast. It is not a sacrament of the Moravian Church. We consider it a celebration, where we celebrate that God's love has been brought to us, and we share that with a meal as a family. So what we'll ask you to do, we'll ask you to hold what you're receiving. You'll either get hot chocolate or coffee or a bun or something like that, and we'll ask you to hold that, and then once we all receive that, we'll say grace, and then you can take your, if those of you who are wearing masks, you don't have to open your mask and throw it in. You can take it down, enjoy some special music from the people we have here, and it really is a great opportunity to celebrate and praise God's name. And I did hear one rumor from Mr. Tyler Castor that he was going to put a Go Browns thing on my Love Feast bun. Now, that wouldn't be true, would that, Tyler? No, that wouldn't be true. Because, you know, one way or another, the Browns are getting devoured. You know that, whether it's tonight or tomorrow? And don't worry, that's payback for all the times I've seen Ohio State beat Wisconsin 41-10. So, just dessert. Let us enjoy our Love Feast.
Thank you.
realize that some of you are still being served, but we'll make sure that we say grace and give everybody an opportunity to start partaking as we enjoy the special music that we have. So if you will join me at this time in the Moravian table grace. Come, Lord Jesus, our guest to be, and bless these gifts bestowed by thee. Amen. Please enjoy some special music. Christmas Eve, it happened.
Thank you.
And guests, we will not be passing an offering plate up and down the pews, but we do have a plate in the back if you'd like to contribute. Our Christmas Eve offering goes to two special things. One is for our church furnace fund, and the other thing that we are raising money for is Project Hope for the homeless shelter. Some of you may be familiar with this new project, but the homeless shelter is desperately in need of a new facility. They are at capacity right now. Their building's over 100 years old, and they're starting to deal with things that are breaking down where they don't have the parts to repair it. Like I was just talking to their president the other day, their furnace went out. And so right now they have heaters running throughout every single room in the building, which is not a good thing. So we want to do our best to step up for our community and to support those things. And our community does such a great job of stepping up and support that I hope you saw in the news this week that we had so many people donate stuff for our Toys for Tots drive that they were able to send some to tornado victims down in Kentucky. So we know that our community often steps up for those in need. So let us celebrate our offering. I'll ask you to please stand as we join together in our offertory response.
Praise God, the Lord.
together the prayer of dedication. Prince of Peace, tonight we turn our hearts to your dear manger, and we remember that you were born with few material possessions. Help us to share our abundant blessings of the community of faith with those in need. Amen. You may be seated. So we now turn our hearts and our minds to our children's chat. We are not inviting the kids forward this year, but I will ask you, we do have some whiteboards underneath your pews. If your kids want to grab that and respond to those, they're welcome to, or they're welcome to shout out answers as well. But obviously, I hope everybody's in the Christmas spirit tonight, getting excited to see what Santa or Mom and Dad or Grandma and Grandpa have for them under the tree. So I want to check your present history right now, kids. So who can tell me what they got for Christmas last year? Who can tell me what they got for Christmas last year? Nobody? Oh, man.
Hey, just put down socks.
Tyler, what'd you get for Christmas last year? PlayStation 4, and there's already a 5 out, isn't there? Rylan, what'd you get for Christmas last year? Ooh. Aubrey, what'd you get for Christmas? TV. TV? Clothes? Absolutely wonderful. Tristan, what do you got? Christmas PJs, absolutely. We all got our PJs. You got a bicycle? That's pretty cool. I love bicycles. All right, we're going to go a little harder. What did you get for Christmas 2 years ago?
Oh, God.
Socks and underwear. There we go. You know what? The older you get, the more you're going to appreciate that. Rylan, what did you get 2 years ago? TS4. All right. Anybody else? You remember what you got 2 years ago?
I can't redo it.
Close. What is that? Barbies. Ooh, Barbie house. Absolutely. So a little bit harder. Now we're going to go with one that's even harder. What did you get for Christmas 5 years ago? I've been married 4 and a half, so I got to spend that Christmas with my first wife. So that's an easy... Or my first wife. Oh, my God.
My first wife.
I'm just going to walk out. Ron, you take over. With my one and only precious wife. That's what I meant to say. Goodness gracious. Does anybody remember what they got for Christmas 5 years ago? I know I'm getting a beat down for this Christmas, but what am I getting for... What'd you get 5 years ago? Anybody? Adults, anybody remember clothes? Okay, that's probably one. Brandon, you remember what you got for Christmas 5 years ago? Toys, absolutely. Toys, concert tickets. Ah, you remember that. That's good. So if you have a specific memory to that. So the longer we think about what we get going back, the less we remember. But here's a question I want to pivot to. Do you remember why you celebrated Christmas 1 year ago? Why'd you celebrate Christmas? Jesus was born. Why did we celebrate Christmas 2 years ago? Rylan? Same reason. Why did we celebrate Christmas 5 years ago, Aubrey? Same reason. Jesus was born. And we remember that. And we carry that with us. Because Christmas, we spend a lot of focus on the presents and the what we're getting and what we're receiving. But the why we celebrate Christmas, the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that rings true every year. So you may forget some of those gifts that you thought were so awesome and amazing 1 year later, 2 years later, 5 years later. But if you remember why we celebrate Christmas, that's the most important thing. That's the most important truth to have in our hearts. That Jesus came to this earth to redeem each and every one of us. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you and I ask that you bless our children and just continue to bless them this Christmas day. Be with them in this wonderful celebration as they get many presents and many gifts as we do too as well. But help them to remember that first and foremost, the most precious gift they receive is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who loves them in all times, in all places, in all circumstances. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. So let us turn our hearts and our minds to our message today. So I want you to think back to that gospel, those two gospel texts we just read. One was a passage from John 1 to 14. And I want you to think and imagine if you were an early Christian and the only gospel you were familiar with was John's. Think about how you would view Christmas Day, how you would view this celebration, because John doesn't start with a manger or a baby. John 1 verse 1-4 starts like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. You see, in John's gospel, there's no manger, there's no star, there's no wise men, there's no innocent, beautiful baby boy held on by unexpected parents. Christians who learned about Jesus in this scripture learned about Jesus who would have been, the people who discovered Jesus from John would have discovered a much different path to learning about Jesus. Because they wouldn't have known all those historical facts that we know from the other Gospels that Matthew and Luke present. They would not have known about Bethlehem and stables and stars and wise men. But they believed wholeheartedly in the light of the world. The light of the world that was Jesus that came into the world to shine light in the darkness of the world. And this year, in 2021, getting ready for 2022, we too are on a different path to discovering Jesus. In many ways, things are better this year than where we were in 2020. We are able to have in-person Christmas Eve worship. Praise God for that. Millions of vaccines have been developed and distributed in the past year, and much of our normal lives have returned to somewhat normalcy. Yet we are deceiving ourselves if we think normal has completely returned. Because this pandemic still dominates our minds, our news, our stresses, and anxiety. Our collective mental health right now feels far more fragile from the grind of this struggle, from the 18 months plus of this struggle. In many ways, we are not the same people that we were in December of 2020, in March of 2020. We are all suffering from something called decision-making fatigue. We're just tired of having to make so many decisions on top of decisions that we didn't have to make before. This is a question for all of you. How many of you are finding it much more difficult to make a decision this year than it was for you in the past? Just a basic decision, like ordering shoes, picking out what restaurant you want to go to. Brandon's with me. All right, I appreciate the support. Anybody else having trouble with decisions this year? You've got it all figured out if you don't. Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, we're all struggling with some type of decision-making fatigue, and it's on a spectrum, some of us more than others. But things are becoming more difficult for us. Choosing between what shoes or outfit we want on the internet, we can be blown away. Figuring out what our family wants to eat on Friday night, that can be even more of a struggle than it used to be. The grocery store and its limitless choices has become mentally exhausting for many. It feels like even in the cereal aisle, adults are about 6 months away from needing a blankie and a binky just to pick out if they want Frosted Flakes, Lucky Charms, or whatever, Honey Nut Cheerios, or whatever is there. We are all tired of the excessive amount of decisions that we have to make. Twice as many decisions as we used to make before. And that is the result of the collective trauma that we share. Just because we all share in this struggle does not make it any less real or challenging. We all walk in some form of darkness. In fact, we may be deceiving ourselves if we thought normal ever existed, if we thought we had it all figured out, if we thought our world had evolved beyond needing the presence of God or the compassion of our neighbors. In a way, this pandemic has been our intervention. We have humbly learned in almost 2 years that we will never evolve beyond needing God. Technology will continue to be a great and wonderful resource, a building block in our world, but our salvation will never be found in our screens. It will be found in Jesus Christ. The good news that we can focus on today is that God sent his one and only Son to lead us out of this darkness. We have a beacon of hope to guide us through the vast wilderness and craziness of our world. In John's gospel, Jesus existed before the world was created. That meant the Holy Spirit had been leading humanity out of darkness since the beginning of time. Think about that. Breathe that truth in. Because that means the Holy Spirit will guide us out of darkness until the end of time. Breathe that truth in. Feel it. Because the great thing is that there is nothing we can do of our own works to accept the light of Christ. All we need to do is just feel Christ's love and embrace it in our hearts. A free gift of light has been placed in our world. Now all we are called to do is share that light with other people. So my question for you this Christmas Eve night is, how will you share your light with others? How will you light up the darkness in your own world? And I think of people like, have you heard the story of Jim Finch this week? Just a humble man who got up, heard about the tornadoes in Kentucky, got his grill on the back of his truck, and drove about 50 or 60 miles down to Kentucky and brought a truckload of food with him. And they asked Jim Finch about why he did this. He wasn't a rich man. He wasn't a man of power or prestige. But all Jim said, I just figured I'd do what I could do. I could do what I am capable of doing. There are stories of people lighting up the darkness all around this. People doing what they can just do. I just saw on Twitter the other day a 5-year-old girl whose parents are both deaf. She was in her Christmas program this past week. So to make her parents feel included in her Christmas program, she signed the entire program for them, every single word. That little girl did what she could do. What can we do? Because Christians can send so much light into our world if we embrace that mindset. Let's do what we're capable of doing when we have the opportunity to do so. So when you see a friend or loved one in need this Christmas season, don't ask yourself, how can I come up with a solution to all their problems? Solutions are God's endeavors. Ask yourself what I am capable of helping with, how I can be a helping hand, a small light in the darkness. Because helping is our problem. That's our opportunity to serve. So let's light our candles tonight with enthusiasm and love for the Christ child and the beautiful manger. But let's also do so with so much energy and enthusiasm for the full-grown Savior that laid down his life for each of us. Let's light our candles tonight because we know the presence of Jesus in our world means humanity will never walk in darkness again. Hear that again. Humanity will never walk in darkness again because we have Jesus. So let's light our candles tonight if we believe the light of Christ can never be extinguished. They attempted to rob the world of hope on Good Friday and they failed miserably. Now we know that the light of Christ is not only lit and lives within us, but it grows. It gets bigger. The flame continues to work within us. And every day, more and more light of Christ pours into our world, and more darkness recedes. So, brothers and sisters, let us use our candles tonight to commit ourselves to being beacons of hope for the light of the world. The time is now. The opportunity for us is now. Let us light up the darkness. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we ask you to utilize us, to help light your world. And we realize that there are so many problems and issues that we are worried about, that we are anxious about, and we put the solutions in your hands. But gracious God, call us to be the helping hand. Call us to help in the opportunities that we have in front of us, to help the friend in need, the family member who's struggling, or the stranger who we are too scared to approach. And may we see the light of Christ in all whom we encounter. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, we turn our hearts and our minds to our candlelight service. I just want to give you one reminder. We are asking you, one of our COVID protocols is we're asking people not to blow out their candles at the end of the service, but we do have some communion cups on the edge of each of your pew. So if you want to grab those before we finish worship, that would be great. If not, we'll find a way to accommodate you. But we are grateful as today we celebrate the light of the world that comes to light up the darkness. upon and across each other. May we never take this scene and this opportunity for granted. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.